Welcome to episode 5 of the Rebel Army podcast. On this week's podcast, we've one of the players in studio as Mally Dyke-Steele joins us. We also get an insight into the club's active role in the community with new football social responsibility officer Conor McCahy, and we look back on the club's fixtures over the weekend. Yeah, welcome back to another podcast. I'm joined as always by Aaron. How are things?
Not too bad, Stephen. How are you?
Very good. I'm a bit tired though. I was up late last night watching the Oscars.
A lot of people in Cork had a late one. Yeah. It seems like everyone was up watching.
Well, we're celebrating
one of our own.
We have to. Yeah. Like, I mean, listen, there's going to be people in the States probably searching Cork City, and they're going to find the club as well. I heard we're doing something on Friday night for the Bray game.
We are. So, like everyone else in Cork, we're looking for a way to market or to celebrate the achievement, because it is a fantastic achievement. So we are inviting anyone called Killian Murphy in Cork, because there's definitely more than one. If you can prove your name is Killian Murphy, you can get into the Cross for free on Friday night.
So how do they prove it? Like a student card?
Just an ID card. So yeah, just if you prove to us that your name is Killian Murphy. No strings attached other than that. You can get in for free.
And the man himself could come if he wanted, could he?
It's open to him as well. He fits the bill. His name is Killian Murphy. Yeah. If he happens to be in Cork, which I'd be very surprised if he was. But we might even let him onto the pitch with his trophy at halftime if he comes along.
We give him a special seat for the trophy and all.
Absolutely, yeah.
We could even put it up there, you know, where the players have often lifted cups in the past.
Exactly,
He could hoist it up at halftime.
Get him into the shed for the second half then.
They're probably looking for a place for a homecoming for him. And we have a match Friday night. You know, 6,000 people.
Stars have aligned there a bit for us, haven't they?
So I know at City Hall, it can only fit 1,000.
Fit way more at the Cross,
Look. Even if the council are listening to this and they want to join forces and they have an avenue of getting Killian, tell them give us a shout. We look after him. But
sort a few points for him in the corner flag as well now.
I think he gets no point to be him.
Does he? We'll sort that for him.
Yeah, so definitely. That's his name is Murphy. So
You know,
so surely he can nearly stroll up to his old haunts then in Ballintemple afterwards. So he. Is in walking distance from the Cross. But getting back to football, I suppose, because we are here as a football podcast. Mixed weekend, good win for the men's team.
Yeah, it was a busy Saturday for a change as well, with no game on the Friday. So, victory in Longford, 2 goals, top of the table now after that, which is very good. But another goal for Jack Doherty and a first City goal for Evan McLaughlin, which is great.
Yeah, it was a good goal too. Actually, the second goal was actually very interesting because they really caught him on the break, like the counter-attack, didn't they?
Proper counter-attack
goal.
It was
you could just see like, go. It was like you could see the defenders chasing him back.
Do you know what? When they were going through, it was Cahill and himself, and obviously Jack has scored a few now at this point. So I was thinking in my own head to Cahill, just shoot yourself, do it yourself. Yeah. But no, it was great to see another goal for Jack. That's 4 now, 4 in 4. So
he's flying it.
He's absolutely flying. And for Evan to get the first, hopefully of many as well, that's a successful Saturday for the lads.
And top of the table.
Top of the table now, yeah.
It's nice. Very nice.
Very nice indeed, And if we can stay there now for the foreseeable, we'll all be happy.
Bit of momentum.
Yeah.
Tough afternoon for the ladies against Piemont.
Yeah, so that was at the Cross, 5 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. It was a decent crowd,
Especially with the rugby and everything was on at the same time, wasn't it?
Exactly, it was a busy day, and I know there was a lot of people had travelled to Longford as well who ordinarily would be at a women's game at the Cross.
Yeah.
So, just one of those days where there was a bit of a clash. But no, there was a good crowd. The performance was good. I think Danny and his coaching staff were happy with the performance and 2-0 against the reigning champions. It's not an awful result by
not
any means.
All.
So, good start. And... yeah, another good crowd for them at the Cross, which
couple
is
of
also
debuts
great to see.
As well was there under there.
A few debuts, there was new signings. There was Orlo Omani started, she was one of the new signings. Yeah. And we had Aoife Robinson and Dorothea Groelich, who was only announced last week, came off the bench as well and had a bit of an impact when they came on.
Yeah, so they're going to take time to bed in as well.
They will, of course, it's a bit like the men's team. It's a new squad.
New squad.
Colleen Kennedy O'Connell was up top as well, and she caused the Piemont defence a lot more problems than they probably would have anticipated based on previous meetings with us. But no, it was really good. She had a couple of chances. There was a couple of players that had a few chances and a few shots. It was definitely an encouraging start. And if they can continue that standard of performance, then hopefully now we can pick up a couple of results as the weeks go on.
They're away, obviously, this week.
Away to Galway this week, so that's on Saturday afternoon. And difficult place over the last couple of years in terms of getting a result up there. But I'm sure they'll be a bit off the back of last Saturday. They'll be well up for it and confident going into it.
How do the academy teams get on over the weekend?
Yeah, so they were all in action again. On Saturday, the men's under-20s drew 2-2 at home to Waterford. Harvey Skyter scored, and there was an own goal from a Waterford player as well. 4-0 win for the women's under-17s on Saturday. They were away to CK United. So Lucia Lynch, Faye Dunley, Alice Murphy and Amy McCarthy got the goals there.
Good win.
The 15s also faced CK United away. That was a 4-1 win. Tom McGrath, Joe Miskela, Ben Dummigan and Jamie Ndewuba got the goals there. Sunday, 2-0 win over Waterford. In Bishopstown for the 19s women's, Kaylee Still and Zoe Finnerty. Men's under-17s drew 0-0 away to Wexford. And the under-14s had a good win up in Mayfield.
So yeah, so another busy weekend. So did a new shop open as well?
It did, yeah. It opened on Friday in the Marina Market. And yeah, it was open Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It won't be open next weekend. So it's for now, it's kind of a test period just for weekends where we're away from home. So yeah, it was quite busy actually. There was people there Saturday, Sunday in particular. A lot of people who would not have ordinarily come across Cork City Shop or Cork City Merchandise, and they were asking us questions down there, which is good. And if we'll be back there, as I said, the weekend after next. So we'll post on social media and we'll let people know when that's going to be.
Well, this week we have two guests again on the podcast. We're getting spoiled lately with the guests, but we have a player again for the first time.
Yeah, Malik is coming in. Someone who we haven't really heard from him much since he came in.
He got injured before the start of the season, which is a pity, but he got a great goal there last year in front of the shed. I remember that one, but...
He did. That was kind of, I suppose, the dream start to your Cork City career, scoring a screamer into the shed, but then was unfortunate with the injury towards the end of the season and then a recurrence of the same injury in pre-season. So be good to hear from him and his experiences of how he's ended up here.
Yeah, not many people go from Dutch football to Cork City, an interesting one to hear what he thinks of, I suppose, his current teammates, how he's getting on and stuff like that as well. So I suppose we better bring him in. Welcome to the Rebel Army podcast, Malik. How are you?
Yes, thank you. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Currently injured at the moment. What's the problem?
I tore my hamstring back in the beginning of February in the Shelburne game, pre-season. Yeah. And, I think it's a re-injury from the end of last season when I was injured for the playoff final.
Yeah.
And just currently doing my rehab for that.
So you're in with the physio a bit or in with the doctor as well? Like for the fans listening, I suppose they're trying to figure out what happens when you get out injured. Do you just stay at home, sit down, or do you get back in?
No, I am actively every day doing my rehab, working hard to get back, I don't want to put a time on it, but I'd say it's I should be around 5 to 7 weeks away. So hopefully back soon.
Yeah, back for the summer.
Yeah.
The weather would be a bit better, but anyway.
No, I love playing in the summer anyway. So
take me back. You're from Holland, yeah?
Yeah.
Or the Netherlands. What do you prefer calling it, actually?
Both. But,
yeah, because it's very confusing.
I know.
Because when I was growing up, we all, with the famous team with Ruud Gullit and Roy Carr, everyone called them Holland. And then, as years progressed, everyone started calling them the Netherlands.
No, I call it Holland myself.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
So what part?
Amsterdam, actually from Amsterdam, yeah.
From the city?
Just on the outskirts of the city, but classed as Amsterdam, yeah.
So I'm guessing you were an Ajax fan growing up, so yeah?
No, I wasn't actually. So basically, my dad, he's a big PSV fan.
Okay, yeah.
So I always, supported them growing up. And then when I was 9, I joined Feyenoord Academy.
Yeah.
Until I was about 16, 17. So the first few years, I kept saying to everyone, I'm a PSV fan. And then you just over the years, I just loved Feyenoord so much, So.
And how did your dad find that then? Him being a PSV fan and, there's three big clubs really in Dutch football, isn't there? But they'd be all rivals.
No, I know. Yeah, they are I'd say Feyenoord and Ajax are the biggest rivals.
Yeah.
And PSV is there, but not as much of a rival,
Yeah.
But my dad was he was just you do whatever you do, I'll stay a PSV fan. He wanted me to play for PSV because I remember when I was 9, I had the chance to go to have a PSV or Feyenoord.
Okay.
And but PSV was just too far from my home. But I think my dad was gutted,
And how much of a trek was it to go to Feyenoord? Was it
The journeys I've made, I'd say so at first you train twice a week.
Yeah.
And it's 1 hour and 20 minute drive. So my dad just used to bring me every week.
Was it at the weekend or something? Or?
No, just Tuesdays and Thursday after school. I think I remember having to leave school early to get the training. And then once I was 12, I think I had to get up at 5:30 every morning, get the bus, get the train, because then, you know, you start doing things yourself.
Yeah.
And then from 12 to 16, that's what I did. Get up at 5:30 and go get the bus, go get the train to Rotterdam, and then in the evening be back for 9, eat and go to sleep and do it again the next day. So.
And did they provide school, Sophie, as well?
Yeah, they provide school, they provide food and then training. Like you get everything gets sorted once you're in Rotterdam, but I just had to get to Rotterdam myself, you know.
It's like Dutch I suppose football was always known as producing young players.
Yeah.
So like when you were 9, do you go to trials or do they spot you playing for junior teams?
No, so I got scouted. I was playing for my local team.
Yeah.
And then when I was 8, and then I remember they scouted me. Someone came to my dad saying like, "Oh, I really like him. Yeah. Is that your son?"
Yeah.
And then my dad was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Oh, we'd like to invite him for like a trial." And then I think I trained once, played a game once, and then they said to you, "We want you here for next season." So that's really how it went.
And like, so between the ages of 12 and 16, are you kind of already saying, you know, my life is going to be professional footballer?
Yeah, 100%. I would say from 4, really. Like,
yeah.
I can't remember having anything else in my head than doing this, you know, like, and I can't remember ever thinking, "Oh, I'm not going to make it," or, you know.
Yeah, you kept on pushing.
Yeah, always, you know. So, I had no doubt in my mind that I was going to be a footballer.
And so when you got into the Fine Art Academy, were you playing in leagues and stuff between, you know, the 12 and 16?
Yeah, we play, you just play like, you know, like the Eredivisie squad, but then like a junior version. So you just play Ajax, PSV, everyone. So just like, you know, big battles every year.
Yeah.
Like I remember even from when I was like 12, 13, like I'd say if we had like final against Ajax on the 13th, there would be about 2,000-3,000 fans just
coming. At that age?
Yeah, coming to the youth games, yeah, with fireworks and everything. Yeah, I remember that from young. So
that's a lot of pressure, right here, isn't it?
It is, but it is. I remember some of the players being quite like nervous about it, you know.
And like when you were playing those games, have any of those lads, like the players you played against Ajax, I know like Ajax have a history of producing a lot of good players.
Yeah.
Was there any star players nowadays that played in them teams?
Yeah, so we always had very stacked teams. Like my team had Crescencio Summerfield, who's one of my best mates from Leeds.
Yeah.
Urien and Quinton Timber.
Yeah.
From...
He's old injured for Arsenal.
Arsenal and Feyenoord. I played with Joshua Sirksey.
Yeah.
He was at Bayern Munich. He's at Bologna now. Walter Berger, he plays for Stoke City now.
Yeah.
So that was my team. And then on that end, they had Brian Brobbey, the striker from Ajax.
Yeah.
Ryan Gravenberch, who's one of my best mates as well.
Yeah.
From Liverpool. It was always good battles, you know.
Yeah, they were, it's a real intense and
stuff
like that.
Definitely.
So when you got to 16, was it a case of do you sign a contract then, or do you have to go away? Like, how does it work?
So you can, in Holland, you can play until under 19s without a contract.
Okay.
So when I was 16, I got held back in the, all my teammates were going to the under 17s, and I got held back at the 16s because I was very small.
Yeah.
I think I grew a lot until I was maybe 18, you know?
Yeah.
So, I got held back and then just played a year with the age below me. And then I had like a big injury, like a knee injury.
Yeah.
And then they just said like, you know, we're not going to wait for you.
Mm.
So you can do your rehab here, but, you know, after that you have to go. So I was like, fine. I decided to do my rehab back in Amsterdam then.
Yeah.
And just take a year for myself. I didn't play football at all then. And
for
just
a full year?
Yeah, for a full year. Just, you know, take a year for myself to obviously do my rehab, but also think about what I want to do, because I knew I wanted to be a footballer, but I just didn't know what route I wanted to take. Do I want to go amateur for a bit and, you know, enjoy my football again, or do I want to do this? So, that's when I left Feyenoord, and then I just did my rehab. I lived with my brother for a bit in England and just like be with my brother every day, like just enjoy myself.
So he plays for Middlesbrough, doesn't he?
He plays for Middlesbrough now, yeah. He was at Charlton at the time.
Yeah.
So I was just in London with him for a few months and, you know, enjoyed myself. And then, you know, just seeing him every day, like going to the stadium, like seeing how many people he was playing for, it did give me a lot of motivation to, you know, push harder, go harder, because that's what I wanted, really.
Because it must have been a low spell, like when all your teammates went on to the next level and you're injured, you must have kind of...
Of course. Because you know, like, you know, they're not... Like, I'm just as good as them, but, like, I'm at the moment not given the opportunity because of my injury,
yeah,
to show myself. So it's frustrating, you know, but I think seeing my brother helped me a lot. Yeah, it helped me a lot.
So what happened then? Did you... go for a try with Middlesbrough, or how did that come about?
Basically, I went back to Holland and started playing for a second division team there called Telstar.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
That was in the evenings, and then
Are they kind of like part time or?
So we were training. We were full time at the time. It was the under 21s, so yeah. We were full time, but training in the evenings. And I did that for a few months, but I was just like. This is not my level, you know.
Yeah.
I just then my brother said, you know, if you want, I can ask Neil Warnock if you can get you a try there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, of course I'll do it. And so I just started training hard for a few months, and then Neil Warnock. I think I was 18, 19 at the time. I'm thinking I'm training with the under 18s or the under 21s, you know. So
yeah,
Neil Warnock is like, oh, he's training tomorrow. He sent my brother a text like, oh, this time tomorrow, come, let him come. So he's looking and he's like, wait, that's our time, you know, the first team. So I'm coming there and I'm like meeting him. He's like, yeah, you're with us. I'm like, oh, okay. So I remember training with the first team. I was like, what's going on? Like a month ago, I was like, you know, just running for myself, jogging every day, trying to get fit. And now I'm like, you know, just the pitches at Middlesbrough are amazing.
Yeah,
and
the Riverside Stadium is a nice spot as well.
Like,
yeah.
And then he liked me a lot, and I think I played 2 games and then he signed me, so I was gassed.
So did you play 2 games for the first team, friendlies or something? Or?
No, I played 2 games for the under 21s. I trained with the first team. Yeah.
And so then what happened then? Were you just playing with the under 21s then for that season? Or?
I ended up playing with the under 21s for a season and a half. I didn't play much, so he left, and then after that, I just didn't play as much anymore.
Yeah,
for the under 21s.
And that's a challenge when the manager that brings in goes.
No, definitely. And, you know, so I went on loan to like a 7-tier team in England called Whitby Town. And I loved it there. It was, I think, it's semi-pro, it's physical. You know, I think the first game I played 20 minutes, and after the game I had a bloody nose and bruises everywhere, you know. But... it's good. It was my first time, like, men's football, so it was good to experience, you know?
Yeah, you got kicked around a bit. So
yeah, I did, definitely did,
A lot of what Nathan said in the podcast a few weeks ago, some of those lower leagues actually would toughen you up a bit.
Yeah, it will, yeah, definitely. You know, I learned a lot there. I'd say I'd learned more there than playing under-21s football, because it's soft, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And even now, like, playing men's football now, like, I think being at Whitby taught me a lot and prepared me for this, you know.
And did you, like, how did you perform there? You were getting the game every week?
Yeah, I was playing every week, you know, and enjoying my football again. You know, when you, obviously, I've always been confident in myself, but I had like a manager there who really like loved me, and he was like, listen, this is not your level. I know where you're heading and stuff, you know. And if you hear that from a manager, it makes you play even better.
Boost the confidence.
Of course. No matter how much confidence you got, like having a manager who backs you, like it helps, you know.
And especially as an attacking player, you need that.
No, definitely.
So then, did I see that you went to Wrexham then?
I've been everywhere. But,
you were getting around the UK at this stage, were you?
So obviously I wasn't alone there. And then when I left Middlesbrough, I thought like, you know, I've just left the Championship Cup. I'm definitely getting some trials, League One or League Two.
Yeah.
And like, it was so hard to even get a trial, you know. So after a month of waiting, I just decided, like, you know, I'm going to go play for Whitby, like, full time.
Yeah.
And I was there for half a season. Obviously, still in my mind, thinking, like, you know, this is just, like, my way up from here, working my way up. And then I don't know how that came about, but my agent said, "Oh, Wrexham wants you in for to train with them."
Mm.
So I went there, and it was my first time in Wales. I remember driving there and seeing like the weird sign, you know, like
yeah, they have yeah, that Alan Winch, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. So I got to the stadium and like I didn't know where to park. So like the first person who's like, with a Scouse accent, I can't do it, but like Paul Mullen, he's like comes up to my car. He's like, "Oh, do you know where you're going?"
Mm.
I'm like, "No, I think I'm training with Wrexham. I don't know who I'm training with, you know."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I'll bring you to the gaffer." And then from when I saw the gaffer, Paul Mullen, everyone, like it got real, you know.
Yeah, and like I know, like at the time they were probably still in the Conference League.
Yeah.
It was before they got promoted, but. I mean, they had a lot of star players. Like they were splashing like
if
cash.
If you got to the car park and saw the cars that they had, you wouldn't think it was National League, you know? Yeah. So.
That's what I heard. Like I heard that they're being paid better than some of the League One clubs.
Yeah, definitely. I'd say they get paid top League One, low Championship. From what I heard, obviously I haven't seen anyone's
payslip. But when you were there, then like. You know, we've all become familiar with it from the TV show with, you know, on Disney. Is there cameras everywhere?
Oh, mate. Like, I remember when you just walk through the train, like, you change and eat at the stadium.
Yeah.
And when you walk there, like, you'll just see, like, people. Obviously, they can't see me now, but you'll just see people with cameras walking around everywhere. Yeah, and...
so it's like a reality show all the time.
It is like it was so crazy to me. I remember one time I think one of the owners has a coffee brand.
Yeah.
And I remember one time we had training and I was like ready to go. This was like my first time I got familiar with it. So I was ready to go and it's like all the boys are like, "Nah, you can't leave." I'm like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "We have to do a promotional like video for one of the owners." So I remember I had to hold these coffee balls and start juggling the ball. so I was like, "Oh man." And then he was like, "Did you not read your contract?" So I remember going on my phone after and I'm like, the contract my agent sent me, and it literally says, "I agree that I agree to do all the promotional videos I need to do for Wrexham." I remember we had to do a TikTok because obviously they're sponsored by TikTok.
We
had to do a TikTok and just do like silly dances and stuff, you know.
But... So that's out there, so we can look for them, can we? Are you doing silly dances?
I don't know if they're still on there, but, but yeah.
We might have to start doing them at the club as well.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But yeah, it's just, it is like
a bit surreal, I'd say.
Yeah, it is like a... It is. At least I've never, like, you know, experienced something like that.
Which I'd say there's very few players. No, obviously, if you're playing on the Premier League teams, we've seen those documentaries for the likes of Man City and Spurs. Yeah. And they've all done them. But lower league, it's a bit different.
No, of course,
It's nearly going more in depth about the story of the people and even the people who are involved in the day-to-day running of the club. Did you ever get to meet Ryan or?
I never got to meet Ryan Reynolds. My friends and like my missus and stuff. That I'm always like, you know, Ryan Reynolds at least follows me. You know, like he follows me. So
does he follow you?
Yeah, I always like jokingly brag about it. But
definitely the most famous follower. So
I got to meet. I never know how to pronounce it. I think it's Rob McElhenney.
I
got to meet him. So that was good. But I really. Really and truly, everyone wants to meet Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, he's a superstar. I hope they're not listening. Like, but yeah,
Ryan's
a big time superstar. I mean, he's been in so many films at this stage. But
of course.
Did you get a game?
No, so I never got a game for the first team. So basically, you have like, the first team was like, I'd say like 30, 35 players. So you just train.
Huge panel.
Yeah, with a huge squad. So we just trained every day and then, if you didn't get a game in the first team, a few of the younger boys and like a few of the reserves, like who didn't play in the game, would play in the reserve games.
Yeah.
So I got to play the reserve games, but I never got to play in the first team. No.
Did you come across another former Cork City player while you were there? A guy called Owen O'Connell.
Who?
Maybe Owen O'Connell. No. Was he there when you were there?
O'Connell. Tom.
No, Owen. No.
Owen, who played for Charlton before? Was he at Cork?
Yeah, he was, yeah.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was on loan from Celtic, I think, at the time.
Oh,
it was years ago, I know. But he's, so...
Oh, I never knew.
I remember there was
very
a big,
friendly guy.
Yeah, there was a big kind of video about him when they were trying to pronounce his name and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously it's E-O-G-H-A-N. Yeah, and they were like, how'd you pronounce that?
I never knew how to pronounce it.
Yeah, so they were like, Ogun or not, this kind of thing. Yeah,
is it
so,
Owen?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that
yeah, that's how we pronounce it. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, there was a good few Irish lads there, I think, in general.
Yeah.
So then, how did you go from being on a film with Wrexham and Disney and all of that kind of stuff to end up in Cork?
So when I left Wrexham last summer and... was it last summer? Yeah, last summer. And my agent was just like looking for clubs for me.
Yeah.
And but nothing really came to, like, you know, there was like, oh, this team might be interested, but nothing was concrete. So
yeah,
I was just waiting around until August. And then I remember saying to my agent, like, and to my dad, like, listen, I'm sick of waiting around. If I don't hear nothing by this Wednesday, I'm gonna sign back for Whitby Town and just like play part time and work as well.
Yeah.
So I spoke to my missus, spoke to my dad, and we all agreed, okay, Wednesday. And then, so Wednesday morning, I'm, you know, and like nothing's happened, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, my agent calls. He's like, oh, Cork City in Ireland want to give you a trial, but I think Liam Buckley at the time said that they want like a more experienced player, so they're gonna try get a more experienced player on trial first, and then try get a more experienced player in first, and if that doesn't happen, then they'll get you. I was like, nah, can I swear?
Yeah,
sorry.
You can walk away.
Yeah. I'm not gonna wait around, you know, like. And then my dad said, you know what, like, give me one more day. And then, so what he did, he called Neil Warnock. Neil Warnock's very good with my family now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously he lost my brother. He loved me back then. And like, he still texts my dad. Like, I think, I remember when I scored the Wrexham goal, he's texted my dad saying, oh, well done, Malik. Tell him I said, well done and stuff. So he called him. He's like, oh, can you have a word with Liam Buckley? Just not even to sign him, but just to like give him the chance of a trial. Because I know if you do, that he'll get in. So I was like, oh, what's Neil Warnock gonna be able to do, you know, my dad said, just give me one day. I was like, okay, cool, but if I don't hear anything tomorrow, I'm signing for Whitby. Then my agent texts me, okay, they want you to come over this Thursday. So I was like, okay. So
did Neil Warnock make a call?
Neil Warnock made the call to Liam Buckley. He said, just give him a chance, you know, that's all he needs, and then you'll see yourself. So I came then that Thursday. Liam Buckley picked me up from the airport, and I remember training the first few days. I was on trial.
Mm.
But me personally, I thought I did shit, you know. So I'm thinking,
I'm going to go back.
Yeah, I remember I got there first day because I didn't even want to go on trial, because I've been on so many trials, you know. I was like,
you didn't want another setback.
Like, I'm not going to do another one, you know. Yeah. And so I trained Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I remember. And then Monday, I was meant to fly back Tuesday. So Monday morning, Liam Buckley, it's like, oh, like, Malik, let me have a word with you. And I'm thinking, oh, he's telling me, like, he's not signing me. I can go back today or something, you know. And he's like, you know, I really like what I've seen, and I want to sign you to the end of the season.
Yeah.
I'm like, huh? And I'm like, yeah, like, I know you might not have felt like yourself, but I can see what you got. Like, so I was like, you know, fair enough. Obviously, I was buzzing to sign, so...
Yeah. And had you ever heard of Cork before?
Never. Never? I always tell people that. Like, I know Cork's like a big place.
Yeah, apparently, but I'd never
heard of it. Yeah. So, I remember when he told me, like, oh, Cork City wants you on trial. I remember looking on YouTube, like, the games and stuff. And I did see, like, Turner's Cross being very lively. I was very surprised because I'd never heard of it, you know?
Kind of goes under the radar a bit over in UK, I suppose, as well. Like, And was it your first time over in Ireland as well?
It's my second time.
You had been here before? So
I played. So basically when I was 17, I joined this academy in York.
Yeah.
I played there for a bit, played a few games with them for half a season. And then I played against Shamrock on the 18s or something with them. Because I was, and then just like a friendly, you know?
Yeah, up in Dublin. So.
Yeah, up in Dublin. So that was my first time.
So you settled into Cork City, fairly handy, got your game. How did it feel playing in the cross?
Oh, good. You know, I remember I never get nervous for any games. But I remember that I think it was the Waterford game that I made my debut. And I remember obviously you sit on the bench. And then I remember I was on the bench and I knew I was going to come on because Buckley told me, like, oh, I'm going to give you 20 minutes today.
Yeah.
And I remember just, I kept looking to the left to like the shed end, you know, like, oh, yeah. Like they were being loud, you know. So I never get nervous for games, but that was the only time I'd say, like, I was a little bit nervous to come on, you know. But I loved it. I loved it.
And yeah. I think City fans love, you know, someone that attacks and like, over the years, we've always had players, and the fact that you have the number seven as well.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
there's a bit of excitement in it. Like yeah. I mean, if like they've only got a small taste of you so far.
Yeah.
You know, because the season was, you know, you joined in August and then the season was kind of over by November. Like, but what should they expect from you when you do come back?
Just energy, you know, and wanting to score goals, wanting to bring entertainment as well. So I'd say definitely energy.
Mm.
Obviously the boys are flying right now, so just wanted to add to that really.
You're bursting to get into the team again.
Of course.
So obviously you were signed to the end of the season, then you got another contract.
Yeah.
That must have felt really good for you, though.
Yeah, of course. I knew 2 weeks into my beginning of September, middle of September, Buckley already told me that he wanted to sign me for next season as well.
Yeah.
And I was like, of course, you know, like, having a good preseason, having a good like full season will definitely help.
Yeah.
Into even like being better. Obviously they got a little taste last year, but
yeah,
I think I'm gonna be even better this season. So I was happy to sign.
Has your dad come over to have a look at the player soon?
Yeah, he came the Shamrock game at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So he was I think, I don't know why, but he got put in the shed end. So he was like, oh, like these kids are so loud, you know. But normally like they don't put parents there, do they? Yeah.
It depends on where you go, but he probably just walked in.
Yeah, maybe.
He probably just walked. Yeah, that's the first thing he saw. Probably walked up the stand.
So but he enjoyed it, you know.
Yeah,
he had a good time. So
And do you go over and back to your brother then over in Middlesbrough, or how does that work?
Yeah, so recently I haven't been as much because obviously I'm busy with my season now, but I lived with him up until last year when I was still at Whitby, you know. So I speak to him still every day. So yeah.
And what about Neil Warnock? Has he been on the phone to give you any advice or anything?
So he speaks to my dad a lot, so I just hear through my dad like the messages. Yeah. He just says like, you know, keep going and you're doing well at the moment. So that's just it really at the moment.
Yeah, and look, I suppose, how does it feel then? Like, this season, the team seems a bit different to what finished last season.
Yeah.
Like, are you trying to adjust to new players, that type of stuff? I know it might be hard being injured and stuff at the moment.
Yeah, no, I thought pre-season, obviously, we played against a lot of good teams, so it might have seemed from the outside like, oh, we're going to be shit this season. I think the whole goal, what the gaffer explained as well, was just being used to playing against like high intensity teams and stuff, and I think it's helped us like this start of the season, because like we're not gonna, I'd say like barely gonna experience that intensity this season, obviously with us being in the first division now. So I think it helps, like, you know, having seen like what intensity we need to bring every game and then applying it to the games this season. So yeah, like, you know, the new players I've seen, I've been impressed with them, you know.
And a lot of young lads as well.
A lot of young lads who like seem to be ready for it, you know. So,
In terms of Tim, brings a different style to what you had last season in terms of like compared to Richie and stuff like that, or
Definitely. I think with Richie and Tim, I do think they both want to play. Definitely, they want to play football. And Tim, you can tell like how passionate he is about it, you know, because even when he's like trying to explain stuff to you, he's like, his arms are swinging around and but you can tell he's passionate about it, and you can tell like he really looks at like the finer the details and stuff, because like left wing, I've played left wing a lot in my, like, you know, throughout my life, and like really and truly I've always just been told get the ball and get past your player, but like just the positions he wants me to take up, and you know, you can tell he puts a lot of time into it. So I enjoy like the role he wants me to play. Obviously in preseason I played and then got injured, but I can tell
On the left, or where are you playing?
Yeah, playing on the left, but I'm he gives me freedom to come inside or
which is kind of something that's happening a lot more now in the game. In
it
general,
is, yeah, definitely.
Wingers are kind of coming in as a kind of more of a like a forward player,
yeah,
getting the goals from the wing, like as well.
Yeah,
and that's, so you'll expect to bang in a few in front of the shed.
Yeah,
well,
like, you know, I've got my expectations for myself as well. So
yeah,
you know, I've got some nice celebrations coming up for Aaron as well.
Oh yeah, that's important as well. Yeah, we need him from the social. Yeah, we need him for the TikTok, yeah, and stuff like that. But speaking of celebrations and all that, we have, and I forgot last week actually, so Danny spoke so long last week that I never got any questions, but we got a ton loading for you.
Yeah.
So obviously you're a bit of a fan's favourite, I think, already. So these are some, anyway. So first question is from James. And he said, what did it feel like to score that goal against Wexford in front of the shed?
Oh, amazing, you know.
It was a great goal too.
I'd say top three feelings I've ever experienced in my life. Yeah. It was my first professional goal as well. And just from the moment I hit, I knew, like, you know, not trying to be cocky or anything, but I knew this is going in, you know. And just seeing the video back after, just seeing how, like, the stadium exploded, you know, it was amazing. So, yeah, definitely up there.
So, that was your first professional.
It was,
because obviously Whitby Town were under.
It's semi-pro.
Yeah. Brilliant. Philly is asking, what's your personal goals for the season?
Personal goals is definitely get promoted, which we are doing well.
Yeah.
And just, you know, contribute with goals and assist. That's it, really.
This is an interesting one. Danny wants to know, who's the funniest on the team?
Funniest? Ah.
So who's the funniest out in Bishopstown when you're doing the training?
There's a few funniest. I think Charlie Lyons can be very funny.
Yeah?
He's I'd say he's the funniest.
Charlie, is he a bit of a prankster? Like,
he is.
Ben is asking, how many goals do you want to score this year?
I'd say, obviously, I'm going to hopefully start playing again in May. So
yeah,
I'd say definitely 10 plus, but he knows more. He knows, you know.
Who knows? Yeah.
That's what I'm going for.
Marco wants to know, what's your favorite thing about living in Cork?
Living in Cork, Marina Market, you know.
Do you like it? Yeah, going down.
Yeah, the good food places there.
And would you go down with the lads then or something?
I've only been once with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I loved it there. And
did she move over with you?
She moved over with me. Yeah.
How's she finding Cork?
She's adjusting, you know.
Yeah.
Because we live, like, older, like a bit out of Cork, and there's not much to do around there. So
where are you living?
Rathcormac.
Oh yeah, it's a bit old. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's not much to do. But she has
to get into a car to go to do something.
No, 100%. And but she's adjusting, you know. So yeah.
So you'll have to show her the sights at some stage around the place when the weather gets a bit better, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely.
John is asking, who was the best player you've ever played against?
Played against.
Yeah.
I'd say I played against Ansu Fati when I was young.
Yeah?
He was very good when he was at Barcelona.
So the Feyenoord player, Barcelona, and
we used to do like a lot of like youth tournaments.
Yeah.
I played Greenwood. I played a few good players, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd say the best was obviously Timber. He was at Feyenoord and then he made a switch to Ajax.
Yeah.
So
that was controversial.
It was. And then so we played him then. And I'd say he's the best player I've played with and against. So,
and against as well. So the goals might be to play against him again sometime. Maybe in Europe for Cork City in the future or something. Who knows, might play against Arsenal or something at the cross.
Who knows?
But listen, Malik, thanks a million for coming in.
Yeah.
It's been brilliant. And hopefully you're on the main soon and we see you back scoring a few more goals in front of the shed.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Thanks again.
Cheers.
That was another really interesting insight, wasn't it?
It was. Do you know what? During the interview there when he was talking about like Ryan Reynolds following on Instagram. I didn't realise that. I was fact checking him there during the interview, and he does. But
he actually follows him on.
He does, yeah. So that just kind of sums up, I suppose, from his short time at Wrexham, that how hands-on those owners were in terms of getting to know all the players and getting them involved in the ads, like he said, which we'll have to dig up now somewhere, him and his TikToks.
Definitely. But, they must be out there somewhere.
We'll find
coffee
them.
Or something, he said.
Coffee brand, yeah. We'll find them.
Yeah.
We'll find them. But I
forgot to ask him, did he actually appear on the show?
Yeah, do you know, and obviously I watched it. I'm sure you watched it as well.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have known him at the time, so I wouldn't have necessarily been looking out for him. But might have to do a bit of homework there now and go back and see if we can spot him.
It would have been the recent series, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah. He only left last summer.
No offence to Ryan Reynolds or Rob McElhenney or whatever. I've fallen asleep a few times watching it, so... Then again, it took me ages to get through some of those documentary series. I think it's just too relaxing, gone.
Just hopefully now there's not people falling asleep here listening to us on a Tuesday evening or Wednesday,
I know,
whenever they listen.
Do listen to podcasts to help them get to sleep.
I do, to be fair. Not our own one. But.
Yeah, hopefully not this. I hope ours is the kind of one where they're on the commute. Yeah, so, as you're now in traffic or something like that.
Getting people through their day.
Or under the Jack Lynch tunnel or somewhere. Yeah, that is not in bed. I don't want to be in bed with anybody. But fascinating. And the amount of great players he played with.
Even the players that he's still in contact with now that he came through academies with, and Liverpool players, Arsenal players, clubs in Holland as well, no doubt. But
I actually had forgotten about your man Timber. I forgot that. Like, he's injured with Arsenal since the start of the season. Yeah, until he said it.
Even his brother playing at Middlesbrough as well. Like, there's a connection there to a lot of Dutch clubs, Premier League clubs, Championship, League One clubs, whatever it is. But that was a really interesting story and a really fascinating background to listen to.
And even Neil Warnock fighting his battle, because we've all seen Neil Warnock. He's a character.
Exactly.
Like.
Yeah,
I can just imagine he picking up the phone to Liam Buckley last year. Like,
bring him in, he's all right. Like,
Because some of his stuff on Twitter is unbelievable.
There's Neil Warnock meme pages as well. So
he's funny outlet.
You wouldn't necessarily have him down as the kind of guy who's ringing a League of Ireland manager to get a fella a job. But it's just another good example of a look behind the curtain of things that you don't ordinarily hear or see.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
No, it was really interesting. Background life, the whole thing, and how he's settling in. And I think, look, he's itching to get back, and hopefully he does get back in May and bang in a few more goals for us.
Yeah, if they're even half as good as the goal he got last year against Wexford for us, then we'll all be very happy.
That go back on YouTube. It's probably on YouTube, is it?
It's up there. Yeah, we'll tweet it out this week as well to promote having Malik on the podcast. But that's in terms of first goals, that's probably the best one you can hope for.
I remember because I was over in St. Anne's and looking, and I was like, oh, what a goal. Like, you know, I was behind it.
Ridiculous.
But,
you could probably hear me behind the commentators, I'd say, in the country for that.
So, we're joined by a second guest as well. So, the club appointed last year a football and social responsibility officer.
Yeah, Conor McCaughey, he joined us midway through last year and ties in nicely, actually, with us being out here at the Crown Centre and where we record the podcast. Mentioned that before, the very welcoming to us out here giving us the use of this facility. But Connor is kind of heading up a lot of our community initiatives, regular visits to schools and stuff like that. So he'd work quite closely with Erica. And he's going to come in there in a minute and give us kind of an insight into what he does at the club and what to look forward to over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, do you know what it emphasises? That like we are more than just a football team. And
absolutely,
I know we have so many teams across both the men and women, all academies and stuff. But the fact that we're doing other things as well. I mean, we spoke about the amputee team a while back, but even we spoke about the programme and the volunteers, and that helps people in journalism. Like, there's lots of different aspects to that club that people forget.
There is, I think I said it before on the podcast. It's not just, you know, a match on a Friday night and that's over and done with. There's other teams, there's other aspects of the club. There's the merchandise side of it, like their shops. It's so much more now than just a football team and a football match. But Connor can fill us in there on what it is that he does and what he's looking to do in the future.
Yeah, so let's open the door and bring him in. Welcome to the podcast, Connor.
Hello, lovely to be here.
Tell me a bit about your role. You're a football and social responsibility officer.
So the title sometimes is a bit of a mouthful for everybody.
Yeah.
So when I'm kind of summing it up and trying to make it a bit easier for people to understand, I'm basically a bit like a community coach. So trying to make football more accessible for groups that usually would have found they missed out on it. So, for example, 55 plus kind of pensioners, men shed types, people with disabilities going into schools.
Yeah.
Monday we have the football memories, which is just an avenue for people to have teas and coffees and have a chat.
Yeah.
And just trying to make football more inclusive and accessible to the general population.
So the older men, say the men sheds, is that the walking football type stuff that you're doing, is it?
Yeah, so there's kind of two programs we're running that would be kind of attracting that age bracket. There's the Monday mornings football memories in the Easy Living Suite in Turner's Cross.
Yeah.
And that's 55 years plus, just teas and coffees, giving everyone an avenue to discuss Cork City.
Yeah.
Could be Irish football in general. Sometimes it's not even to do with football. Could be about the weather or something different. And then Wednesdays and Fridays, we offer walking football, kind of does what it says on the tin pretty much, football at a walking pace. What's great about that for the 55 plus age group is far less risk of injury. And I know from chatting to lots of lads that go to it, it feels a bit like when they used to go to five-a-sides with their buddies. And they're getting the physical interaction, but most importantly, from my point of view, it's good for their social interactions and really good for the mental health.
And is there tackling involved? There is tackling, yes.
But there's no tackling from behind, no overhead height, no heading the ball. So people can still get a bit of a physical workout. And there's just something nice about kicking a ball around as well. So.
And the memories then, so like, is that opening to everyone? So like, if you're like, there's probably people listening to this now and they'll say they might feel awkward about going down on a Monday. How many people will be there usually?
We kind of have a core group of about 8. Yeah. And then you might have one or two that would drop in maybe once or twice a month that wouldn't be able to come every Monday because they might have work commitments.
Yeah.
So sometimes could be 10 to 15, but I would say usually more like kind of about 8-ish.
Yeah.
Now, the targeted age group for that is 55 plus, but it's open to absolutely anybody.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anybody, whether you're 18, 68, whatever your age is, whatever your interests are, we'd love you to come and join us. There's teas, coffees, some biscuits. If the weather's good, we do go for a little stadium kind of tour, a lap around the stadium.
Yeah.
Sometimes as well, we try to get the players in or coaches or ex-players. Because as nice as it is for the lads seeing myself weekly, it's nice to get another voice for them to hear as well.
And especially with the older crew, if you could bring in some of the older players that maybe have finished long ago, like that they can talk about old memories of the cross or something like that.
Exactly. And the easy living suite that we do it in is great for getting conversations started.
Yeah.
Because if someone who hasn't been there, walking in there, it's amazing. There's AstroTurf on the walls, memorabilia everywhere, from games back in the 60s, the George Best coming out in Turner's Cross, and then they give us a great kind of starter for the chats. Sometimes.
It's like a little mini museum, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is. Like, you know, I was walking through it there the last time. It's kind of, oh yeah, I remember that game. You know, it's nice. Yeah. Like, so it can start a conversation.
Exactly. And then... So the walking football that we're doing is Wednesdays and Fridays.
Where's that?
Wednesdays is Mahon, Ringmahon AFC.
Yeah.
And then Fridays is Bandon AFC. Both from 3 to 4 out on the pitch, and 4 to 4.30 we do teas and coffees for half an hour inside.
And do you have to register in advance or anything like that?
No, you don't. You can just turn up at the time. When you arrive on the day, we will give you a registration form and kind of go over all the layout of it and things like that.
Yeah.
And now also we have collaborated with a group called Age and Opportunity and also Cork Sports Partnership to try and get some more venues set up.
Brilliant.
So, for example, Age and Opportunity at the moment, they've just started one in Clonakilty on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And then they've also started one on Wednesday in Mitchellstown at Park United.
Yeah.
But if anyone wants any more information on that, they can get in contact with us at the club and we'll give them more information.
I'm guessing you're going into school so as well and kind of...
Yeah. If anyone's seen anything on social media, they probably noticed that, like you're saying, we're going into schools. So we do Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 a week. We're doing a football numeracy program. So what that is effectively trying to teach the kids about numbers using Cork City Football Club as the theme.
So
I can tell by when I'm in the classroom with them. So we do 45 minutes in the classroom, then 45 minutes outside in the yard or Astro, depending on the school.
And what are they doing now? They counting the goals?
There's 10 units, so it's a 10-week programme. Yeah. An example of a unit might be, last week we were doing, they had the first team schedule away to Dundalk.
Yeah.
So that one was primarily, it's always to do with numbers. So that one would have been to do with the times, working out how long they're on the bus, how long they're together in total, things like their schedule from performance analysis to when they're eating.
Yeah.
Then the week before that was based on pitch dimensions.
Yeah.
So working out things like if the 6-yard box there, the 18's there, where would the penalty spot be? Or another one was you're in charge of designing the new training ground for Cork City and you have to use area, perimeter. And it just kind of almost tricked them into being a bit more engaged in the numeracy side of things.
And is it primary school or secondary school?
It's primary school. So it's aimed at 4th to 6th class students.
Yeah.
Now I do find it does seem to be a little bit more applicable to the 6th class students. where some of the younger kids, sometimes they might not have covered some of the stuff in their maths class with the teacher.
Okay, yeah.
But that's not to say that they don't get anything out of it, but it might just be a little bit tougher for the younger ones.
And do the schools reach out to you or do you reach out to them? How does that work?
Either or. As you can imagine with that, because it is funded by the Department of Health and Cork City Football Club, we have a big long waiting list for schools because everybody wants a bit of it, and unfortunately there's only one of me and we can only do two a week, but if any schools are interested in it, feel free to get in contact with the club, and I know there is a big long waiting list, but we can get you on the list and get you as soon as we can.
So come up to the, let's say, Easter holidays in the summer, then what do you do then when the schools aren't?
So we have various different camps. So we have the Junior Academy, which is running every Sunday over in Mudsgrave Park. And that is based more on improving players technically.
Yeah.
And then going into the summer, Easter, midterms, we have Corky camps. Now they're based on obviously improving players technically, but more based on just kids having fun and enjoying physical activity and a bit of football.
So you get involved in that when the schools are
exactly
and stuff like that.
And actually, this summer we're actually going to be launching our first ever Corky camps in West Cork. So getting out the city a little bit and just trying to
which would be brilliant because we always have a fan base down that side.
Exactly, yeah.
The county anywhere.
Yeah, like you're saying, it'd be nice for the fan base that's not in the city to get some interaction as well.
Yeah. But it all helps. I'd imagine that you're seeing people that you meet maybe in the school, and are you giving them incentives to come to matches and stuff like that? Or
yeah, so what we do at the end of the 10-week program, we will try to, if we can, to get a couple of players to come down, first team players.
Oh, brilliant.
And then they'll do a little meet and greet, take some Q&As, do a little bit of keepy uppies and knock around with the kids, and then distribute some match tickets afterwards. So at the end of the 10 weeks, all the classes would get tickets to come up to Turner's Cross to watch us. Because the more fans we can get to Turner's Cross, the better to try to cheer us on.
Have you started seeing some of them then come up to you there? I've seen you with Corky the Cheater and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the kids that you've seen in the classroom come over to you?
That's actually probably the people who I see the most when I'm at the gazebo. Fans might have recognised now when you come into the stadium on a Friday night, there's a big green gazebo pretty much as soon as you come in. And that's where I'll be based. And if you ever have any questions about any of the programmes we're running, like the numeracy, the walking football, football memories, I'll have lots of leaflets there and have all the information on also the Corky camps, the Junior Academy.
And you were saying you were involved doing stuff with people with disabilities as well.
There's two programs that we're planning at the moment. They're not started just yet, but we'll give people more updates on them when they come out. We're just in the planning stages of that at the moment, but there should be 1 to 2 new programs coming in the future. One of them working with people with disabilities on the field, actually soccer based, and another one not actually on the field but revolved around kind of football for all program.
Yeah, so fascinating. A lot of different aspects to the role, so I'm guessing you're enjoying it.
Well, brilliant. Yeah, it's nice. Like you're saying, it's so different from, let's say, today I was with kind of 55 plus age groups, then tomorrow I'll be in Morning Star School in Ballyfahan, then Wednesday walking football again. So it's nice having different age groups, different ability levels, different people every day. So it's nice, it keeps it stimulating. And one thing I am finding from working back in Cork compared to when I worked abroad in football, I am finding it a lot more rewarding. Because I didn't grow up in the city, I grew up down in West Cork.
Yeah.
But I'm finding it a lot more beneficial for myself personally, giving back to the area I'm from, compared to when I worked in the States and Australia and the UK.
Well, look, best of luck with it going forward. I think it's a fantastic initiative that the club and also the Department of Health and stuff are involved in as well, in the FAI, I'd imagine. But thanks a million for coming in, Conor.
No worries, absolute pleasure. And like you said, I would just like to say thank you to the Department of Health for the funding. We're very, really appreciative of it. And bring it on, and we can keep spreading the word and make football more inclusive and accessible to everybody.
Yeah, that was really interesting to hear, I suppose, the different things that Conor's up to for the club at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, there's loads that he does, and he does with Erica as well. Again, it's another sort of aspect of the club that doesn't get a lot of coverage among the general fan base, so this hopefully puts a bit of a spotlight on that as well.
And do you know what? Not every sport does it.
Not every club does it.
There's probably people listening to this now might say, actually, we have an initiative that we'd love the club to kind of get in behind, and maybe it's some sort of community thing or whatever. And hopefully that's what it's all about. Hopefully the club can help.
Yeah, 100%. You can reach out to Connor or reach out to the club directly, and we'll pass it on to the relevant person. And be it a school or a team or a community initiative, as you said, whatever it is, we'll look to work with whoever we can and help in any way we can.
Yeah. So it's time to look forward to the fixtures at the weekend. I suppose we kind of mentioned already the women are away at Galway. Saturday afternoon, is it?
Saturday afternoon, yeah. 5 o'clock kickoff, I think, in Galway.
Yeah, so, and I presume people can just turn up if they go up to Galway, if they want to go to the match.
Yeah, you can go up to the game there. They sell tickets on the gate. And if you can't make the trip, it's obviously on LOA TV like all the other ones. So you can support from afar there. And obviously keep an eye on the social media as well for updates from there.
Yeah, and the men are back at the Cross on Friday night.
Back at the Cross, where we're hopefully going to be joined by a big crowd of City fans and a big crowd of Killian Murphys, as we said earlier on.
Be loads of fellas trying to make up IDs or something.
We'll have Johns and Michaels and Patrick saying, oh no, I go by Killian, yeah. But not
Brayer. Does it have to be Killian with a C?
I think we'll probably accept Killian's with a K. Yeah. Don't hold me to that, but I don't think we'll fall out over
it. Yeah, we won't.
A K,
so we better tell the lads on the gate.
Yeah, we use a bit of leniency there, maybe. But as we said earlier, Brayer, the opponents this week. One of the clubs that a lot of the bookies and the pundits would have said will be up there this season, so it'll be a good test for Tim and the squad Friday. But we've done well so far, so hopefully we can continue that and see where we are Friday night.
That we kind of should keep an eye on.
Well, Jimmy Corcoran is up there.
Is he up there?
He's up there. He's in goal for them. There are a couple of other recognisable names there from across the league, but in a Cork City sense, Jimmy Corcoran is the one that will stand out to people. Yeah.
And how have they been doing so far in the league?
So they've only played 3 games, actually. One of their games was called off because of the weather. Remember, it was snowing there last week.
Yeah.
So they had that game called off. That was one of their home games. They played 3 games. They're 5th in the table. They came from 2-0 down then last week to draw 2-2 away to Treaty at the Markets Field. So they'll be confident off the back of coming from 2-0 down. But we'll see how that plays out at the Cross on Friday.
Yeah, but we're coming off a 2-0 win away as well. So I think that's going to help as well, isn't it?
And exactly. You know, probably 2 confident teams going into it and both will be expecting to win it or hoping to win it. So yeah. That'll probably be maybe one of the standout ties of the First Division on Friday night.
And if you can't make it, because obviously people are listening to this overseas, they can watch it on
That's on LOA TV as usual. If you have the season pass, it's included, and if you don't, it's €7 for a match pass.
€7.
But we said it before, the season pass is €120 for the year, and that covers every game, men's, women's, First Division, Premier Division, whatever it is. So that's definitely value for money if you can get that.
Yeah, so that's the end of another podcast. How are the listeners going? Are we still getting people from all over the world listening?
We're still having people. There's the numbers in Kenya went up last week anyway, so if there's a bit of a Kenyan Cork City supporters club being developed out there, brilliant.
Didn't one of the lads recently, one of the academy players, did they go out to some where they went?
Yeah, so Finn Dalton and his dad Brian, they're on like a humanitarian mission with a couple of other TOI students and their dads. They went the border, the Namibia Angola border, where they were giving out mosquito nets and stuff like that to prevent the spread of malaria, and they brought over like 60 odd Cork City jerseys as well. Yeah,
fantastic.
So they were using, I think Finn was saying, I did a video with Finn about it, and they were using sort of the metaphor of the mosquito net is like the goal, and the mosquito is the ball. You want to hit them into the net to prevent the spread. But he's out there. I think they're on the way back, or they could be back now. But there's a village out there now with 60 odd Cork City jerseys that they were proudly wearing for their match there last week, and stuff like that's brilliant to see.
How are the French listeners going?
We're
still doing well in France.
So we can thank everyone again for listening to France's number one League of Ireland podcast.
We look forward to getting you back and hopefully report on another couple of wins next week.
Hopefully we're still top this time next week when you hear from us. But
and we'll let you know how many Killians came.
Exactly, we'll have a Killian counter on Friday night. But thanks for listening again, and keep the ratings coming in and let us keep our position in the charts.
Keep pressing that subscribe button, and talk to you again.
See you next week.